have sheets here. Thank you to Shmuel for making some sheets. We're going to start. I want to start with the Kiddush Levi on Mem Zayin Yud Tes. V'tein Zara V'nichya V'lo Namus. This is already when Yaakov Avinu has arrived. We're going to start saying from the end of the parsha, then we'll move back a little bit from saying earlier in the parsha, Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu and the brothers, the family has come down to Mitzrayim, and there's been the great reunion, which is the drama, the centerpiece, the excitement in Parshas Vayigash. And when Yaakov Avinu arrives, Yosef commands there to be planting, and that way they'll be sustained and they won't die. And the Kiddush Levi brings down Rashi, Ayin Rashi, Mishaba Yaakov Mitzrayim, we're going to start at the end and then we're going backwards. From the time that Yaakov arrived to Mitzrayim, Ba Bracha L'Ragla V'Hischilu L'Izra V'Chila Harav. Chazal teach us, and it's based on good diukim in the Chumash, that from when Yaakov arrived in Mitzrayim, the famine ended. And this brings us to the famous kasha of the Ramban, the big kasha of the Ramban, the almost obvious blatant kasha of the Ramban. Eich shayach she is batal pitaron Yosef shepater shiva shanim yeha rabbi Mitzrayim. The Torah is explicit. When Yosef explained, interpreted the dreams of Paro, he said. That the meaning, and it wasn't him, he was talking for God, that God had given him the interpretations, that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, the famine ceased. Asks the Ramban, how could it be that when Yaakov comes down, the famine stops? The dream, after that's Josh and Lachanica. After that, the Tainzar, yeah, exactly. How could it be that what Yosef interpreted, the dream, simply didn't come true? Right? I believe the Cheshbon was that only 2 years of the famine had passed. And that means 5 years were still supposed to be left. Did you find it in here?
The beginning part.
That's still 5 years of the famine were supposed to be left. So this is the Ramban's kasha. It must have been that Yosef was mevatel gzeira. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said the Gzeri was for 7 years. But we have a principle, and this is a principle that Kiddush Levi likes a lot throughout his Perish on Chumash, that, and it's based on Chazal, but something that Hasidus in general incorporated as one of the fundamental principles of Hasidic philosophy, that the Tzaddik has the ability to be Mevatel Gzeri of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzaddik Moshel B'Yiras Elokim, the Tzaddik has the ability to undo a decree of God. And somehow Yosef did so, but still, nevertheless, we're left with the question, but what about the dream? God said it was going to happen. Yosef said it was going to happen. And how could it be that it just didn't happen? V'zesh amar Yosef leparo. Says the Kiddush Levi, just a beautiful pshat in Chumash. How could this happen? Because if you go back to last week's parsha, Parshas Miketz, where Yosef is interpreting the dreams of Paro, we see that he said something weird, and the Mefarshim asked this question as well. Because Yosef interprets the dreams, and all of a sudden, he switches from being dream interpreter to being advice giver. Because what does he say? V'ata yare Paro ish navon v'chacham. I am called Mefarshei Torah, says the Kiddush Levi. Right? Look at all of the Mefarshim who asked this question. Pyro asked him to interpret the dreams. He interpreted the dreams, and all of a sudden, Yosef stops short of dreams and says, Pyro, let me give you some good free advice. Get a really smart guy, a really wise economics major. Get a guy who really can run an economy. Get a guy who really has his handle on things and can make you a plan to be able to sustain your economy throughout the famine that's going to come after the 7 years of plenty. Everybody asks, who told Yosef to do such a thing? First of all, it's a huge risk, right? You don't do something that the king, the emperor has told you to interpret the dream. Now you're starting to give him advice. That's a risky move. He could go back to you right away. Like, I asked you to interpret the dreams. You got that. I didn't ask you for economic advice. I didn't ask you to be my minister of the treasury over here, right? And two. Why would he say such a thing? This is a question of all mefarshim in Parshas Miketz. Uvazeh yivur ki chein amar lo zehachalom asher ha'isa shiva shanim rab gzeira ra'al mitzrayim hu asher Elohim ose. Says the Kedusha Slevi, a great chap. This is just a great chap. It was all part of what Yosef interpreted prophetically from the dream. The advice itself, Yosef was able to reveal, to infer from the prophetic interpretation of the dream. Because Yosef said, you're going to have 7 years of famine, and it's going to be a very difficult decree on Mitzrayim. That's what God is going to do. V'zeh yivur ki b'chalom nemar. Says the Kedusha Slevi, let's go back to the dream. Yosef saw something in the dream. Vehine omed al hayor. That Paro, there was a detail there. There was a detail there when this was happening, when the stalks were devouring the stalks and the cows were devouring the cows. Paro adds in this detail, and I was standing there. Paro saw himself standing by the Nile River, by the Yor, watching this happen. He saw that in the dream. Paro again repeated, and I saw myself standing there. Yosef never interpreted that detail of Paro being the one watching this happen. Says the Kiddush Levi, a beautiful pshat. When Yosef goes ahead, you with me? When Yosef goes ahead and tells him this piece of advice, it was because Yosef interpreted something from the dream. Paro was standing there on the bank of the Nile River, watching his whole empire come to pieces, watching his famine come and devour and totally rip apart the society. And he was standing there watching. Yosef realized that's a significant detail. Because Chazal teach us, and we know this, it's super cool, just look at the Google Maps of Egypt. Egypt is part of the African desert, the North African desert, right? But if you look at the Google Maps of Egypt, you see the Nile Delta and surrounding the Nile River. All the Nile River is the longest river in the world, right? You see the Nile Delta, which is the north, you know, eastern part of Egypt, northeastern parts of all of Africa. You look at it, what do you see?
Green.
Green, all green. It's unbelievable, right? And Egypt doesn't get so much rain, right? That's why the Torah itself contrasts Mitzrayim, right? When Sodom, right? Sodom, before Sodom was destroyed, right? What is the Torah? How does the Torah say Sodom was? Kegan Hashem, Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. The Torah says, "Stone was Kegan Hashem Ke'eretz Mitzrayim." Stone was like the garden of God, like the land of Egypt, because stone subsisted without any rain. It was fertile. It was lush. It was full of vegetation. It was unbelievable. Obviously, then it was destroyed by fire and brimstone and sulfur. The whole thing was totally scorched, and became arid desert. Many explain that the Dead Sea became the Dead Sea because of that. And that's why, and it became salty, and it became dead, and it became lifeless as a result of the destruction of stone, which it's in that region. But Kiganim Eretz Mitzrayim, but what's the difference between Mitzrayim and Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael subsists on rain. And rain If you learn the Gemara in Tanis, I mean, learn the Masech in Tanis, at the beginning of Tanis, it's all rain is so big. Rain is the indicator of the relationship between God and the Jewish people. Right? That's why the tefillah for rain is such a big deal. And with the seasons, when we daven for rain, when we don't daven for rain. And rain is a huge, huge, huge barometer of Hashem's love and acceptance and appreciation of Klal Yisrael. And that's a beautiful thing because we here in our Tzob, we live in a relationship. In Mitzrayim, there's no relationship. It's just the Nile River. The Nile River, there's no relationship. Right? There's no God. It's very man centered. It's very nature running its flow without that intimate relationship, that intimate connection. And the Nile provided the substance for Mitzrayim. Ha'olo mashka, because the Nile would overflow, and when it would overflow, it would irrigate the entire region. And Paro saw in his dream, again in last week's Parsha, when he saw in his dream that his entire economy coming crashing down, his entire society coming crashing down as a result of this famine, he was standing there by the Nile River watching this all happen. Hanimshach misham parnasas Mitzrayim uparo harasha lo haya bo koach levakish rachve Hashem al bitul gzeiros harav. Why was it happening? Because Paro was standing there watching his Nile River helplessly, totally incapable, his hands tied, his arms incapacitated, watching his entire economy, watching his entire ecosystem, watching his entire agriculture, and watching his entire society come crashing down, and he was just standing there like a helpless, powerless leader. The Amar Zehu Pitaru Nachalu Masheraita Kihen Hineni Omer Al Svasa Yaor. Yosef took that detail and said, "Ah, Paro, you standing there watching your economy come crashing down, that is part of the vision. Because you are a powerless, mortal leader who has no ability to do anything in this world if it should go against the will of God. If God wills there to be a famine, your hands will be tied. You will not be able to do anything. You will stand all over your Nile River that you celebrate, that you worship." They worship the Nile River, right? Right? They worship the Nile and rightly so. It was the source of all of their sustenance. But obviously, God runs the world, right? He stood by the Nile River and watched his economy, watched his country, watched his empire come crashing down in terrible, painful, suffering famine. And Yosef said, "Paro, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be standing there helplessly like a totally incapable leader. V'ata yore Paro ish navon v'chacham v'yashiteyu al eretz Mitzrayim." "Paro, you want me to tell you what to do? You know what I see in your dream? You, mortal, finite, flesh and blood leader, who has, at the end of the day, no real power, you'll be helpless. But I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Choose a person. V'atayari paro ishnavon v'chacham yeshiteo eretz Mitzrayim. Choose a person who has wisdom, who has depth, who has brilliance, and appoint him over Egypt in place of the helpless individual yourself that you see in that dream. Navon v'chacham dahainu ish tzadik. Appoint a tzadik, appoint a person in that place who has say in the true way the world is run, in the true way things happen in reality. A person who can literally change the decrees of God himself. V'hu yael eretz Mitzrayim, and appoint him over Mitzrayim in place of yourself, who at that moment is going to be a helpless, incapable leader. Levakish rachmi Hashem al bitul gzeres harav, and he will pray, he will beseech God to be mevatel, to nullify, to void the decree of God. God doesn't want destruction to the world. God doesn't want people to suffer. God doesn't want there to be annihilation and brokenness in the world. God wants good for people. God is a chafetz chesed. God is a tov ametiv. He's good and wants to bestow good. But he appoints man to change the reality in this world in order so that he could bestow his goodness. There needs to be a tzaddik, there needs to be a great leader, there needs to be a great holy person that can bring down this divine compassion in order to avert the catastrophe of the famine. And this is the brilliance. This is what Yosef did. Yosef brought his father, Yaakov Avinu, one of the greatest human beings of all time. Yaakov Avinu, what Chazal said, the most diukno al kisei Yaakov, the face of Yaakov is on the heavenly throne, on God's throne himself, Yaakov. One of the most profound human beings to ever walk this world. Paro, Yaakov. Get out of the way, Paro. Let's bring Yaakov. Let's put Yaakov over here in Mitzrayim. Let's see what he can do. Let's see the light and the goodness and the bounty and the blessing that he can bring about to this reality. The Amideu Lifnei Paro. He put him in place of Paro. Sheyeh Lemalami Paro. He put Yaakov above Paro. Kitamira Klipa Nichna Lifnei Gedusha VeGedusha Lemala. Because Paro is the Klipa. He's the husk. He's this incapable physical substance, human, finite. But you put a Yaakov there, Yaakov Avinu, who's sarisei im elokim anashim atuchal, Yaakov who's able to wrestle with the divine, Yaakov who has real power in the infinite world. You put him there. You put him in place. Umashi Yosef lo bitel says, oh, ask the Kedushas Levi. Why didn't Yosef do it himself?
At the end.
What?
The word nachna?
Nichna. Subjugate. To make lower, to bring down. Like hachna. Hachna, hachna is a word of humility, to humble. Umashi Yosef, ask the Kedushas Levi, what about Yosef? After all, Yosef is a tzaddik yisod olam. Yosef is big stuff himself. Why didn't Yosef be this person in order to move Pyro aside, to bring down the bounty, to bring down the blessings of God? Yosef's role in the story only came about as a result of the power that was bestowed, not spiritually, but economically and socially, and in the society. Yosef's role was only as a result of the power that Pyro gave him. So he was subjugated somehow to Pyro and didn't have the license, the spiritual license, to be able to move Pyro aside. But Yaakov, who comes in totally without any strings attached, he has the ability to make this happen. Vod kasher by Yaakov Mitzrayim and kol haShvatim and kol haMerkav Elyona az yichol Yaakov levatel gzeira rav. And reason number two is Yaakov also came, right? A tzaddik is only as powerful as his entourage. Who is Yaakov's entourage? The 12 Shvatim, the wives, the children, the grandchildren, the whole mishpacha. This is a powerful, powerful, powerful entourage. This is a powerful crew. And Yaakov, together with the whole crew of his family, the Shivim Nefesh, this is the seedlings of Klal Yisrael, he had the koyach to be able to mivatel this gzeira. And says the Kedushas Levi so beautifully, answering the Ramban's kasha, how could it be? How could it be that Yosef's vision was 2 out of 7 years? No. It was part of the vision. Because 7 years, if Pyro's standing there. But if Yosef is able to move Pyro aside and bring the tzaddik Yaakov Avinu, then Brecha can come down. Because the tzaddik has the ability to nullify the will of God, the tzaddik has the ability to bring the bounty of God down, unlike mortal, finite leader, who is totally, his hands are tied in front of the will of God. I think this is such an important message nowadays, when we are seeing such world leadership play out. Obviously, nowadays, you know, we're deeply, deeply lacking. We're deeply desiring and yearning for leadership who has the ability to bring holiness and bring the divine blessing and bounty down to us here in Israel and to the entire world. But we see the finiteness and we see the smallness of world leaders. And hopefully, very, very soon, Mashiach will come and be this exact same paradigm. Mashiach will come and all the world leaders will just be stepped aside because they'll realize how powerless, how small they are. But the Mashiach ben Yosef, when the divinely appointed king comes, Melech HaMashiach, he'll have this ability. Please God, it should be today. He'll have this ability to bring down this unbelievable bounty, to end suffering, to end the brokenness, to end the decrees of famine, spiritual famine, physical famine, war, sickness, starvation, etc., 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 and all of the finite leaders will simply just melt away, just step aside for true leadership, which hopefully will come very, very soon.
Amen.
Yes, Geffen.
Well, I have one related question, one unrelated question.
Okay, let's stay related because I do want to try to learn a lot more before we finish.
Okay. Does it necessitate that Yosef knew that this would be the outcome, or only from the dream he was able to tell that he had to be involved in the,
I don't know. I kind of like
redemption of the.
Meaning, did he know that? Basically, usually his approach, it seems like he had clarity that this was going to be the plan. The power would step aside, and that would annul the next the remaining 5 years of the famine. That's what seems like what he's saying.
By way of Yaakov, or just by way of suggesting himself as an economics minister? It's almost saying that was Yosef able to tell that Yaakov would be involved? From already the state of interpreting the dream?
From back, you're saying from 9 years ago? Not sure.
So, what?
I think Yosef, it's clear at a certain point, that Yosef had a strong level of emuna in the story that was taking place, meaning we don't see him blink an eye when he's going through the roller coaster of his story that brought him to rock bottom two times. It seems like he had a good handle on an understanding and hope and emunah and faith that, you know, the future of Jewish history was playing out through him. Meaning he probably knew the Mesorah from his grandfather that Klal Yisrael, we're going to go down to Galus. It's a good question, you know. But did he exactly, was he able to see all of the details, you know, clearly way in advance, or it was only as they unfolded? Not sure. Before Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim, so the Torah records that he got scared. This is going back to Perek Mem Vav, Pasuk Dalet. The Perek Mem Vav, Yaakov has been summoned, and he's going down to Mitzrayim together with the entire family, with the 70 individuals that make it up Klal Yisrael. And God comes to him, and he says, "Don't be scared." He says, "Don't be scared, because I'm going down with you." Okay, the Kedusha Levi has four pshatim in this pasuk, and they're all very, very beautiful. The first one is just about the beautiful idea of the significance of God going down to Mitzrayim with Yaakov. And he says, just like a teacher sometimes needs to go down to the level of a student and then help him come back up, so too Hashem, just like that teacher sometimes bends down and goes down to the student on their level, has to kind of be metzamtzem, has to kind of consolidate and simplify their own wisdom in order to give over wisdom. Right? If you have a first grader and a math teacher, and that math teacher knows calculus, and that math teacher knows, I don't know, quadratic equations and quadratic formulas. So the math teacher needs to be mitzamtzim, needs to do tzimtzum. What does tzimtzum mean? Constriction, constriction, contract, to small, to humble, to really, you know, simplify their tremendous wisdom in order to go down to the level of the student and teach them basic, you know, the basics, and then work their way up and hopefully get them to their level. Says Kedush Levi, this is the paradigm of Hashem coming down to Mitzrayim with Yaakov. Obviously, Hashem's perfect state, Kaviyachol, of revelation in this world is in Eretz Yisrael, is in Avisa Migdash, is in the Clear Asheras Hashchina. But the Jewish people went into Golus. And when the Jewish people went into Golus, Hashem, Imo Anochi Betzari, Hashem comes with them. And that's what Hashem said, I'm going down with you. And even if it means I have to contract myself and constrict myself and humble myself, I'm going down with you just like a teacher, and I'll come back up with you afterwards. That's Kedush Levi's first pshat. And then he says, a few other pshatim. He says, at the end of the pasuk, I'm going to go down with you. I'm going to take you up. Gam alo, surely I'm going to take you up. Double lashon. Why double lashon of up and up? Kedusha Levi, also a beautiful, beautiful idea, where he says that not only am I going to take you up, but I'm going to bring you back up. You're going to go down. And I'm going to bring you up for the purpose of bringing others up. Such a beautiful idea, such a fundamental yisod in Chassidus and Avodas Hashem. Why do we merit the inspiration and the aliyah, the growth and the knowledge and the wisdom and the inspiration and the spiritual feelings and the spiritual development that we are all merit? Not to keep for ourselves selfishly, but to share with others. To share with others. To go ahead, and if we get brought up, we don't want to just grow in a vacuum. We want to bring up those around us. And that says, I will bring you up, gam alo, and then you'll bring others up. That's what Hashem said to Yaakov. I'll bring you back up of here, and then you'll bring up other people as well. But I want to jump to the fourth pshat, which is a little bit long. And in the context of the fourth pshat, I brought you a quick summary of all of Chumash Brachos. Because there's a word that if you stay akin, is that a word? Keen, aware, sensitive, cognizant of this word, as you go through Chumash Brachos, it'll jump out to you. And it could always be understood with a deeper level of depth and a deeper level of significance. Says the Kedushas Levi, Anochi eredimcha mitzrayimcha v'anochi alcha gam alo. Anochi. Anochi. What does Anochi mean?
I.
God is saying I. Where else did God say I? Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Oseisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. It is I, the Lord your God, who took you out of Egypt. To become your God. It is I, Hashem, your God, that took you out of Egypt. And that was a very, very significant moment in the history of the Jewish people. And one might even say it was possibly, potentially, the most significant moment in the history of all of mankind. When God came down and revealed himself and gave his wisdom to mankind, to the Jewish people, his system of morality, the Torah, the Tariag Mitzvos, the Seres Adibros, and he called upon us to be his people, and he empowered us, and he inspired us, and he guided us with his Torah, and he gifted us his infinite wisdom. And it was all introduced with Anochi. Says the Kedushas Levi, Hashem says to Yaakov, Anochi, Anochi, I, Anochi, I'm going to go down with you to Egypt. Va'anochi, and I am going to come up with you, and I'm surely going to bring you back. Says Kedush Levi near Lefarsh Jav Deshmaya Din Iksiv Sheish Moshe Lev Ragli Ha'am Asher Anochi Bekir Bo. 600,000, right? When Hashem is right, talking about the census. The Torah is talking about Midbar. That's either Parshas Naso or Bahaloscha, when the Jewish people are traveling in the desert. 600,000 feet of the Jewish people. Asher Anochi Bekiru. Again, that word Anochi, that Anochi is in their midst. Obviously, God is talking over here. So Anochi is me, right? But it's also another, I'm going to call this what I like to call in learning, we have something called the Gzera Shava. What's a Gzera Shava? The best way of understanding a Gzera Shava, I know it's totally inappropriate for me and Chappelle's to talk about Gemara methodology, but I will anyway. Just a fancy understanding that I like, a modern understanding. What's a Gzera Shava? What's the best way to understand a Gzera Shava in modern lingo?
A hyperlink.
Have I said that before?
No.
A hyperlink, exactly. It's a hyperlink. It's a hyperlink, right? That blue highlighted text. It's a hyperlink which takes you from a word, one place in Chumash, you click on it, and it'll bring you, right, what's a Gzera Shava I learned this morning? Teshvu and Sukkah, right? There's Teshvu by Sukkah, and there's Teshvu by the Yimei HaMiluyim, right? When Moshe Rabbeinu is finishing putting up the Mishkan, right? Right? There's two Gzera Shavas, right? There's one from Yamim and Teshvu. Anyway, right, Yamim is by Sukkah and by Lulav, and Yamim is by Sukkah and by the Miluyim. But there's also Teshu by the Miluyim, so that one wins because it has two hyperlinks, as opposed to Lulav to Sukkah has one hyperlink. Anyway, that's a Gemara in Sukkah over there on Daf Mem Aleph Beis. Anyway, but it's a hyperlink. And what's the significance of this hyperlink? You take a concept and you take details from one place the word appears, and you're able to transport them via this hyperlink to another place this word appears. That's what Gzeirah Shavah does, right? Just like by the 15th, there's this din, so by the Pesach, so also by the 15th, there'll be this din on Sukkot. We can transport via this hyperlink. So this is a hyperlink. There's one second, let's hold the thought, because we only have less than 9 minutes left. This is a hyperlink that literally you can travel all through Chumash Breishis with this hyperlink. The hyperlink of Anochi. Because Anochi is the representation of the revelation and the presence of God saying, I am here with you. Venir perusho, diha anochi velo yelcha gabe gvur mipia gvur shemanum. You see where we are? Over here, shemanum. And from this, Gavin, you see where we are? When God said Anochi Aseres HaDibros, what did He give us? He gave us Himself in our midst. He imbued Himself. He imprinted Himself. He inserted Himself within Klal Yisrael. And this is the meaning of the entirety of the Jewish people, 600,000 strong of the Jewish people. Anochi is in their midst. Because when God said Anochi at our Sinai, He imbued Himself through that Anochi, He put Himself in us. Just give a few lines. Vizeh Anochi, we'll skip to the next paragraph. Vizeh Anochi, and this says Kedusha Slavi, this is what Hashem is saying to Yaakov Avinu. Because this Anochi, it was not a secret. It was not a secret to the great people in our history up till that point who knew about the secret of Anochi, who knew, like Rashi tells us back in Parshas Breishis, Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, that the entire world was hanging in the balance, waiting for the day, the sixth day of Sivan, the day of Kabbalah HaTorah. All of the world, Rashi says, anybody? Yes, believe me? I think it's also maybe a Gemara in Avodah Zarah. That the entire world was Talui V'Omid, was standing in on the balance, waiting for the Jewish people to accept the Torah when Hashem would say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. If they would take it, the world could exist. And if not, the whole world would revert to nothingness. Because even from that point in history, and therefore the great people who knew the secret, the purpose of reality, knew that the world was waiting for that moment of Anochi. Adam, Noah, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the Avos, the Imos, they knew that everything was working towards that Anochi. They had the secret of Anochi. They knew that their mission, that their journey, their path was to be able to hold on, to cherish, to bring the Jewish people towards that point where they'll be able to get that Anochi finally once and for all. Says the Kedusha Slavi, V'zeu Anochi Ered Imcha Mitzrayma. Said Hashem to Yaakov, don't worry! This is a very scary moment. You're leaving Eretz Yisrael. You're going down to the exile. It's going to be difficult. You're going to be out of your native homeland where God is here and present, where I'm here and present with you. Said Hashem, it's all good. This is part of the process. Anochi is going down with you to Mitzrayim. This is the next step. Yes, it seems like a step backwards. It seems like a step down. It seems like a step away from the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is in Eretz Yisrael, is in a place of heightened spirituality and holiness. Don't worry. This step to Mitzrayim is Anochi is coming with you. Anochi is coming with you, and this is, even though it seems counterintuitive, this is the way that you're going to get to that ultimate goal of Anochi. The Tachlis shall have goes Mitzrayim Hayakadeshi Galu Hashim is Rach Mitzrayim Vitim Lanu Esatora Kemosha Amar Ubezelcha Osbim Botiacha Esam Mitzrayim Tavdunas Lokim Al Harazet Bezel Anochi Eretcha Mitzrayim Sheyaridas Mitzrayim Hule Tachlis Sheyitim Lanu Hashem is Rach Hatoyra Ushenishma Mipia Gvura Anoichi. This is all part of the plan. Yes, you're going down to Egypt. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be dark. It's going to be suffering, slavery, Holocaust Mamish. But this is the way that the Anochi is going to be revealed. Don't worry. It's going to be hard, but this is the path. This is the path to reveal the Anochi. V'Anochi Alcha Gam Alo, and Anochi is going to bring you up. Sheivticha Hashem Yisbarach Sheigalu Mitzrayim Vayitin Lo Ratoira V'Shin Nishma Mipi Hanavua Anochi. Right? Don't worry. When you come up, you're going to get it. You're going to get that ultimate prize. You're going to get that ultimate destination. You're going to hear the Anochi once and for all that you've been waiting for. That's a Torah of the Kedushas Levi. With that, let's just learn all Chumash Brachos very quickly in 4 minutes. Parshas Brachos. Look at Parshas Brachos. Parshas Brachos is one of the first stories in Chumash. Adam and Eve, the sin of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sin, and the sin of Adam and Eve, and all of a sudden, they realize, they feel that shame, they feel like they've done something wrong, and God calls out to them, and He says, Ayeka, where are you? You've fallen, you're in a bad place. And they replied, I heard your voice in walking in the garden, Ve'ira, and I was scared. Why? Ki eirom anochi ve'echave, for I was naked of anochi. That this sin that I did caused me to become naked of anochi. Eirom anochi, I've lost my anochi. This sin brought me further away from anochi. And now let's learn further in Parshas Brachos, in the next downfall of mankind, the story of Cain and Abel. What happened to Cain and Abel? Right? We know that Cain kills, right? That Vayomer Cain al Hevel Achiv, Vahibi Yosem Besarav Yaakov Cain. Cain gets up and he kills Hevel. And what happened? Cain is feeling tremendously shamed and nervous and broken and downhearted. Vayomer Hashem al Cain, Ei Hevel Achicha. And Cain, and God says, "Where's your brother Hevel?" And what is Cain's famous response? Vayomer Lo Yadati Hashomer Achi Anochi. I didn't know that I was supposed to be guarding my brother Anochi. I didn't know that was my job. I didn't know that's my mission, to be holding on to my brother Anochi. Again, B'derech Drush, I didn't know that I'm supposed to be treasuring this Anochi. Parshas Noach, when Hashem says to Noach that He's going to bring the flood to the world, Hashem says, Ki liyamim od shiva anochi mamtir al haaretz. Anochi is going to have to bring this tremendous flood, this tremendous rain into the world. Anochi is going to bring it. The world needs to, Anochi needs to renew the world. In order for the world to be able to work towards Anochi, the flood is going to have to happen. Mankind, except for Noach, is going to have to be wiped out. And the Anochi is going to have to bring that in order for the Anochi to be able to be reached. What about Parshas Lech Lecha? Lech Lecha. Avram Avinu, he's going to be the torchbearer of Anochi. Achard Bar Meila, Dibar Hashem Avram, Machzeh Lemor, Altir Avram. Anochi Magin Lecha. Anochi is going to be protecting you. What does it mean Anochi is going to be protecting you? Your whole journey, Avram Avinu, is all going to be protected and guided and defined by the Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitzichem Yerushalayim, the revelation of God that's going to come down at Har Sinai. It's all going to be guided and it's all going to be defined by the ultimate destination of the Anochi. Anochi will protect you. Anochi will guide you. Your journey is going to be working towards that. Ve'yomer Avram Adoni, Ve'yomer Avram Hashem Elokim Matitin Li Ve'Anochi Holech Hariri. But I'm barren. I'm barren. How can I work towards the Anochi? Anochi Holech Hariri. I can't work towards the Anochi. I don't have a son. How can I get to the Anochi? I don't have a son. I'm barren. What about further on there in Parshas Lech Lecha, in the Bris Bein Abasarim? Vayomer Avram Yadot Tzedek Ki Ger Yezarcha Be'Eretz Mitzrayim Ve'Avdum Ve'Inu Osam Arba Moshana Ve'Gamas Hagoy Asher Yavodu Dan Anochi. By the way, many of these ideas are found in Mefarshim, in different Svarim, on all of these Psukim. A few of these are Chidushim, but a lot of them are pointed out by Mefarshim. I'm putting together another Shorshi which has more of the. What's the Bris Bein Abasarim? The covenant between the pieces, where God tells Avram the unfolding of all of Jewish history. You're going to go down into exile, but don't worry. Why? Because I'm going to the Gamas Hagoya Asher Yavodu, the nation that is enslaving you. Dan Anochi, I will judge them. But what does it mean? The judgment will come to them because of Anochi. Meaning, Mitzrayim is going to be judged because the Jewish people need to get to the destination of Anochi. What about Rivka? Rivka is barren. Rivka is barren, and she has two twins, and they're fighting in her womb. And what does she say? In Cain, Lamazeh? Take a wild guess. Lama Zanochi. When she feels one going to Avodah Zarah and one going to the Beis HaMikdash, they're fighting, one they want to come out. She's totally all, she's so confused. What's going on here? It's crazy. She has this crisis of faith. Lama Zanochi. Why the Anochi? I don't understand. If one wants to Avodah Zarah, well, why Anochi? Why do you work towards Anochi? If my fetus, one wants to go to the Beis Avodah Zarah. Lama Zanochi. And then Esav. What does Esav say? Why does Esav, we'll have to finish with this because we're already late. Why does Esav sell the Bechora? Why does Esav sell the Bechora? Halitaini na min ha'adom ha'adom was like, give me some of that red stuff. You know why? Ki ayev? Because I'm tired of Anochi. It's too hard. It makes me too tired. I can't work to the Anochi anymore. I give up of working towards the Anochi. I'm too tired. You take the Anochi, I'll take the soup. And Yaakov, and Yaakov, this Anochi is going to kill me. I don't want this Anochi anymore. And Yaakov takes the Anochi all for himself. Anyway, check out Sefer Bereishis. This word appears over and over and over again. And with this key, it's all about working towards that ultimate destination of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And we should all be zochet to work towards the ultimate destination where once again Hashem reveals himself and says to us, Anochi.
Amen.